We're living in a very challenging time. The coronavirus has affected nearly every part of our public life and most of our private lives as well. You know, as we've sheltered in place, we've lost touch with many of the ordinary things in our lives that give ourselves pleasure and meaning. Being unable to go to the gym, the library, or restaurants has made a large difference in our social lives. And a lack of leadership at the top has caused a sense of confusion, has increased the sense of confusion and division. We not only fear the dangers of the disease, but we also do not have a unified approach to even solving the problems relating to it. So it's not been a comfortable time to be an American. And it seems likely to go on for months, if not years. And there's already devastating losses of lives and livings. And there's much more to come, even in the best of circumstances. So as meditators, we know that our internal equanimity is not ultimately dependent on our outside circumstances. But we can also feel the suffering caused by all of these disruptions for ourselves and for many others. And also when we're sitting in our meditations, we can at times touch that place of stillness, just centered and peaceful and not wavering. But another part of us is noticing the tears in the fabric of our society. We've seen how the pandemic has affected those at the bottom of the pile much more grievously than those near the top. And the racial divide has become more and more obvious. And we're bothered by it. So what is our way of being true to our practice and also aware and engaged with the world in a helpful way? It's easy to be swept up in the turmoil and the anger of the moment and become identified with those events. And it would be easy to act from there. But we know that any action from a place of anger just begets more anger and leads to more division and more of a sense of them versus us. My sense for myself, and I'm not claiming any single way to work with this, is that these few months have been a time of listening and learning. My practice has helped me to be open to what's happening and allow it to touch me and influence me. When you see the latest description of a black man being killed by the police, it's horrifying. George Floyd in Minneapolis had a knee in his throat for over 6 minutes till he died. We read about that. Eric Garner was arrested for selling cigarettes without a license and was choked to death. Rashard Brooks in Atlanta was asleep at a fast food restaurant and shot to death after he attempted to escape from being arrested for a DUI. And these are just a few examples. And when I first read about these stories, it was hard to even credit what was happening. And it was almost a little bit easy to say to myself that this is far away from my world. In some way, it didn't involve me. But the details of these deaths and others break through, and you start to feel, in addition to the sadness, some anger that this happens. Then as you read about it more, you start to see that it's not new this year or last. This kind of treatment has been part of our culture for many years. And then you start to look a little deeper and you see the patterns in our society. You start to see the country in different terms. You see the police behavior as part of a bigger pattern, which is in many of our institutions. our banking system at times, our education system, and certainly our penal system, all have rules tilted in favor of the Euro-Americans to the disfavor of the people of color. And people begin to articulate new forms, and we learn new words, white fragility, white privilege. You begin to see patterns and connections in politics of the day. White supremacists start to show up in a more direct way in our public. And many people don't mind that. We start to read about implicit bias. We notice more about that. And we notice it in ourselves. And then we notice that implicit bias is part of nearly everyone's experience. And we're dismayed to learn that many people are not offended by these things. And it's difficult to see our connectedness. And again, it's easy to see it as us and them. And after a while, you start to see inequality and racism under every rock and every institution. Your anger is often at the surface. When you start looking at the evidence, it's compelling. And you start to open to other injustices which have persisted for many years. The inequality and the lack of opportunity at the bottom of the scale. So what do? So what I'm describing may not be the track that your heart takes, but it is mine. So as a result of this pandemic, the protests, the injustices, I can feel my heart opening more and more to all of it. And I'm not the only one. You know, if you remember about 3 years ago, a few of the southern states and cities started to reconsider the Confederate statues which were in the public squares. And there were some that were taken away then, but usually it was after a long public discussion at a weighing the pros and cons of having a southern general who sought to preserve slavery in a public square. And sometimes they were removed and sometimes kept. Lately, there's been a renewed vigor in removal. Sometimes it's been with a simple executive order, like the Robert E. Lee statue in Virginia. So listening and watching these events has not been easy. There's times when I could feel myself becoming irritable and short. A few weeks ago, I realized that my consumption of cable TV anchors was causing me to become more angry, and I identified with the problems. And I found it was wise for me to dial back a little bit. And I found that my mood was more open, more settled. And anger can be a clue to something being wrong, but as a motive for action, we know it's not helpful. In our practice, like in this, we are with our anger when it arises, but we don't act from that place. Now, sometimes you can try to do something motivated from this identified place. I have an acquaintance who started organizing group meetings to discuss what to do and take action, and she had to quit because the meetings were so full of fighting amongst themselves about what the exact right thing to do was, that she became more anxious about the things. She also read or tried to listen to all the podcasts of all the latest thinkers, listening to experts outline the problems may have kept her from really feeling her own feelings about things. So it's possible that watching the news and commentators is an avoidance. It's a fine line. I mean, sometimes you need ideas, but often you have enough. So what to do? Some of us will be organizers. We'll make it our passion to lead others, educate others, organize meetings, and participate in large gatherings. And there may be a Martin Luther King Jr. among us who's a prophet, able to move the masses. But I think for most of us, our field of action is much smaller. For myself, I think that listening is still the most helpful place. And in this case, in addition to the listening that I have done with various events of the day, it's also listening to my own guidance. Most of us have a place which prompts us to do what needs to be done if we pay attention. And for a long time, I did not know, and not knowing can last a long time. And it continues to some degree all along because we're limited in our understanding. And none of us none of us has even the beginnings of an understanding of how everything should be. Nor is it our place to say how everything should be. But we want to do right action, to put it in meditation terms. And right action is not some specific thing that fits everybody in all circumstances. Right action will arise from your own place of stillness, like you are sometimes when you meditate. It will be informed by your wisdom and compassion. And your guidance might prompt you to do something that's barely noticeable. Or it might be quite public. Or it might be nothing at all for a while, or maybe a long time. So each of us has our own guidance, and the solution for one person will be unique to them. Probably each of us has something different that's being prompted. So, what I'm discussing today is not, this isn't an overall description of how we bring our practice into the world. It's just a little piece of it. It's just a little piece of how these events have struck me, and so just the parts of it that make sense to you, take that in. Parts that don't, let that go. So, thank you very much.